Grace, mercy, and peace be to you from God our Father, and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Our text today is taken from our Old Testament lesson from Genesis chapter 18. Well, Winston Churchill once said, "Courage is what it takes to stand up and speak." He also said, "Courage is what it takes to sit down and listen." He spoke those words to his troops one time. And if you think about it for today, how would we define what courage is? Well, we might say that courage is what it takes for a police officer to put on his uniform. Courage is what it takes to face your critics. Courage is what it takes when you need to deliver bad news. Courage is what it takes when you're taking up a new adventure, a new career or something, and you're wanting to do something and somebody comes up and says, "You're going to fail." Courage is what it takes to live from day to day in a world filled with all kinds of unknowns. Well, courage is what Abraham is showing in our Old Testament lesson. But as we look at it closer, would we really just say that's all it was courage? Or something else going on there too? Well, it's worth taking a look at it. But first, we need to recall last week's Old Testament lesson. Abraham's hanging out there, and he sees three people coming up to him. And so he recognizes that that's the Lord. And so as these three are coming up to him, he's like, "Wow, I need to make a meal for them." And so he says, "Hey, guys, sit down and wait for me. I'm going to prepare a meal for you." And they're like, "Okay." So he prepares a meal for him. And then the Lord shares with him there, something's going to happen. About this time next year, you're going to be a father. And he's thinking, "Wow, I'm going to be 100 years old, and you're telling me I'm going to be a father, and the mother is going to be my wife, Sarah, at age 90? Wow. Such news. Good news for him. But again, as the meal has finished there, the Lord has other plans too, besides sharing with him that, you know, he's going to be a father at that age. And amazingly, the Lord lets him in on what his plans are going to be. Here again, the conversation. "Then the Lord said, 'Because the outcry against Sodom and Gomorrah is great and their sin is very grave, I will go down to see whether they have done altogether according to the outcry that has come to me. And if not, I will know.' So the men turned from there and went toward Sodom." Now, something that we see here is that the Lord is about to do one of those things that we understand is going to happen at the end of time. Judgment Day. The Lord is going down to Sodom and Gomorrah to see if their sin is as bad as he thinks it is. And if it is, then the Lord is going to pronounce judgment on Sodom and Gomorrah. Yet, we find that Abraham has issue with this. And what is it? What might be that potential problem? Think about it for a moment. Who lives down there that Abraham knows there in Sodom and Gomorrah? Well, it's Abraham's nephew, Lot. Recall that Abraham and Lot were so blessed, their possessions were getting so great that, well, when you have too many family under one roof, what happens sometimes? You get a little strife going on. And that's what was happening between Abraham's people and Lot's people. Strife was going on, so finally Abraham decided, it's like, "Hey, we need to stay on good terms here." And he told Lot, he's like, "All right, if you go to the right, I will go to the left. And if you choose to go to the left, I will go to the right." So Lot, having that choice before him, to his left, to the east, lies Sodom and Gomorrah. And what we know in the area there is the Dead Sea. Well, at that point in time in history there, it was like lush gardens, like the garden of the Lord. And so seeing that and all the people who dwell there, Lot decides that he's going to go down there. That's where he's going to dwell. So as the men turned toward Sodom, Abraham stood before the Lord. Now it gives the impression almost that as he sits there and stands before the Lord, it's like the Lord's going to have to go around him to make his way. Well, Abraham does this for a reason. Abraham drew near and he said, "Will you indeed sweep away the righteous with the wicked? Suppose there are 50 righteous within the city. Will you then sweep away the place and not spare it for the 50 righteous who are in it? Far be it from you to do such a thing, to put the righteous to death with the wicked, so that the righteous fare as the wicked. Far be that from you. Shall not the judge of all the earth do what is just?" Well, what do we have here? Think about that for a moment. Look closely at it. First of all, we have Abraham pleading there before the Lord. It's like, "Lord, you need to have mercy here." And it's like, you know, what if there's 50 righteous in that place? Are you going to sweep them away? All right, meaning, are you going to kill them, destroy them, just like with all the wicked there? He's like, "Far be that from you to do that." But notice that Abraham knows exactly who's standing there before him. He called him the judge of all the earth. He knows it's the Lord, and he knows that the Lord can do this very thing. So he's pleading there, "Will you do that?" And the Lord responds. He says, "If I find at Sodom 50 righteous in the city, I will spare the whole place for their sake." And then what do we have Abraham doing next? He humbles himself. Basically, he's saying, it's like, "Can't believe I'm asking this of you, Lord. Sorry about that. But what if there's just 5 less of 50? Are you going to do that?" Here he is, again, being very humble before God. He knows exactly who he's speaking with. And what does the Lord say? "For 45, I'm not going to do that." Okay? But if you think about it here, what exactly is he doing that for? Again, he's pleading for mercy before the Lord. And how did the Lord really reply to him when he's going, "I'm not going to do this for the sake of the 50 or for 45? If you go back a couple verses before this, before all of this, the Lord's speaking out loud there when he says, "Shall I hide from Abraham what I'm about to do, seeing that Abraham shall sure become a great and mighty nation, and all the nations of the earth shall be blessed through him?" Then the Lord tells Abraham his plan. Why does the Lord do that? You see, what's happening here by the Lord sharing his plans with Abraham, he's inviting Abraham to plead on behalf of others. He's inviting Abraham to ask the Lord to show mercy. Wow. Truly, that's what God wants in our lives. And so by doing that, he's inviting Abraham again to plead. So then it's like, well, what if there's 45 or 40 or 30 or 20 or 10? Why is Abraham going so low again in number? Again, whose lives down there? It's Lot, his nephew. He's got family down there. He's wanting the Lord to show mercy on them. Abraham cares about his family. He cares about Lot and his wife and his nieces. And the Lord answered, "For the sake of 10, I will not destroy it." In all of this, how would you describe Abraham's actions? He's pleading before God. He's bringing his cares and concerns before the Lord. What do we call that? Prayer. That's exactly what he's doing. He's praying. And how did he bring those requests? Rather humbly before the Lord. A humble person pleads. He recognizes that he has nothing to offer. But he still did it. He relies on the one who can truly show mercy. And that's the example that he gives before us. But sometimes when we bring our requests before the Lord, are we humble? No. Many times we are rather brazen about it, rude in fact. kind of like the student who'd go to the Lord in prayer. It's like, Lord, give me an A on this test, even though he didn't study for it. Yeah, that happens. Or maybe it's this prayer. Don't let my spouse find out. Yeah, that happens too. Oh, Lord, I've been good, so you better come through on this prayer. Sometimes we do that. And sometimes it's that self-pitied prayer. It's like, Lord, it's that little old me, you know, got this little request here. Can you take care of it for me? And if it's not that, it could be something else. You know, it's that throw it up and hope it sticks prayer. You know, throw it up there. It's like, you know, I don't know if you're listening to me, Lord, but could you do? Really? And then I've even heard this too. I'm too busy to pray. The Lord already knows what I need. He's going to take care of it. Really? But this is when we need to take courage and listen. God was not too busy. In fact, he made a promise to Abraham that includes you and me. He did it in these words: all peoples will be blessed through you, meaning Abraham. Jesus is a descendant of Abraham. Jesus was born, and Jesus' life was yet swept away with the wicked. Judgment was placed on him. He was guilty for the sake of the wicked. He was guilty for our sakes. He earned forgiveness of sins for us by going to the cross and dying there on that cross. And for those who believe, God extends forgiveness and mercy upon you. You are not swept away with the wicked. In doing so, for your sake, you're not going to be destroyed. You're not going to undergo that judgment that the people of Sodom and Gomorrah received. God has had mercy on you. And because he has, just like Abraham, God invites you to bring your requests before him. God has extended a privilege to you. He wants to hear from you. You see, when he wants you to pray, because it shows that you are in a relationship with him. It shows that you trust in him. You know that he's the one who can do something about it when you yourself cannot. That's why God invites us to pray. He wants to see if you truly do rely on him. You see, it's all about God's grace. No, you don't deserve to have your prayers heard by him. But you do. You see, it's God's grace that he indeed listens to those prayers because he loves you. You see, it is by grace that God shows all of that he wants the best for you because he cares for you. So in those times, pray. Have courage. Pray whether you're standing up or whether you're kneeling. Take those prayers to the Lord God Almighty. For in doing so, you are showing that indeed you have faith, the faith that he has given to you through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Now may the peace of God surpasses all human understanding. Guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Amen.